It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. I hope that you're enjoying this morning's show in the cold winter in Illinois, where we're getting what we usually get in December and mid-January. Well, we're getting it in early February. This morning, I'm going to start off with a story that I find to be amazing about an amazing person, Anne Kent Taylor, and the work that she is doing in Africa and Kenya. And I'm going to start off by saying this is 2018. And wherever you're listening, whether you're listening up in the Paw, northern Manitoba, or the Gulf Coast of Louisiana, or in the Rockies, or in the Appalachians, because that's the bandwidth of WGN Radio, and everywhere in between, we're sitting here with the greatest modern creature comforts known to man. We have all this high technology. We're looking at Elon Musk dreaming of people sending people to Mars. We have unmanned space rockets. We have self-driving cars. We're in a period of astonishing evolution. And at the same time, there's a part of the world that has not changed almost since the beginning of time. And this is where some of the greatest animals live today in the world that have not been exterminated by human development and human advancement. So if we take ourselves back to America, 1750, 1800, all the way through the 1800s, up into the 1870s when we had Custer's Last Stand, it wasn't that long ago, and we tamed this country, that's what's going on in Africa today. And it's through that prism that I want to talk about the work of Anne Kent Taylor and what she's doing to try to save one of the greatest places left on Earth, which is just beginning to experience some of the development that we take for granted in everyday shapes of our lives. And in fact, which for a century we've taken for granted in our lives. Running water, plumbing, sewage, hygiene, things that we just, my God, we're astonished. There aren't any outhouses in America. Yet in Kenya, there are outhouses everywhere. And on the Masamari, which is one of the great plains of the world, one of the great places left, we have a society that is living as it lived in 1600, 1700 for the most part, but which is rapidly adapting to the 21st century. And that's where Anne Kent Taylor and the Anne Kent Taylor Fund, A.K. Taylor Fund, come into being. Anne Kent Taylor was on this show several years ago, and we talked about her work in Africa, and I followed it since. And Anne is a lady that I've had the pleasure of knowing now for, 40 years, much of my life. And she is the kind of person, when we think about individuals making a difference in the world, Anne Kent Taylor is one of those people. So let's start off with the Maasai Mara, one of the great plains of Kenya, and where the wildlife is being decimated because of the advancement of human population and also human technology, yet at the same time, that technology is clashing with the interests of the world in ecotourism, maintaining elephants, lions, leopards, hyenas, and wild animals. And it's an inextricable conflict which Anne Kent Taylor has jumped into, having grown up in Kenya, having lived there much of her life, and having gone back every year for her entire life. And in 1999, she started the A.K. Taylor Fund to help save the Maasai Mara, built on four principles. Part of it, anti-poaching. Part of it, human-wildlife mitigation. Part of it, habitat preservation. And another part, education. And now more recently, community empowerment. And the A.K. Taylor Fund is doing the kind of work that one individual with a vision, hard work, without being led by government, but being led by the private sector. And this is not a statement on government, but it's a great example of how the private sector and how individuals lead and we can think of great conservation work here in the United States, almost all of it led by individuals and then, if possible, helped by government. And that's exactly now what's going on the Masamari in Africa. But let's start. It's 1999, and Ann Kent Taylor realizes that the area that she grew up in, that she's known all of her life, is going to be forever changed, ruined, if we don't do something about the poaching, wildlife mitigation, habitat protection, and most of all, the education of the people of Africa. And so as I talk to you this morning, I look out the window, and I look at Chicago and everything we have, and then we transport ourselves tens of thousands of miles away to a world where there are no toilets. There's no running water. Cattle are the sole source of survival. There's a little bit of corn planted. Maybe it yields 15 bushels to the acre. Well, we're happy sometimes now to get 300 bushels to the acre. There's no modern equipment. Everything is manual labor. And there are lions, and there are leopards, and there are elephants, and there are all kinds of animals in the midst of this growing population that is causing this incredible conflict. And then we have this remarkable and sickening value of ivory and the cutting off of tusks and horns so they can be ground up to be aphrodisiacs and sold in Asia. And that conflicts with our desire to save this place and to save the ability to go to Africa and to see what's going on and to see the world as it once was, much as if we had had the foresight, we would have saved a lot of America, the Great Plains and the wild buffalo herds and all the animals that ran on the Great Plains. That's the Masamari today. That's our Great Plains of yesterday, which are now some 80 million acres of agricultures and farms and small towns and bigger cities as well. That's what happened in America. That's what's going to happen in Africa if we don't save a little bit. We have the knowledge of foresight now to have been able to say, this is what we did in other parts of the world. Let's see if we can save a little bit what's left in Africa. So the anti-poaching leg of the stool is that about 250 days a year, individuals go out and they take down snares and traps, and they arrest poachers. Some 6,000 snares have been removed in the past 20 years. Hundreds of poachers have been arrested, and hundreds of animals, elephants and lions, have been saved from being killed indiscriminately. The population in the Masamari is people living with wildlife. And the Masamari Conservancy in Kenya, along with the A.K. Taylor Fund, is the leaders of this effort. They're building coalitions. But the people of the Masamari, the Maasai tribe, they were nomadic. Today, they're no longer nomadic. They've become, if you will, sedentary in the way of agriculture as we began to experience it 200 years ago. So now we have human-wildlife conflicts and mitigation. The livestock are predated on by lions and hyenas and leopards. The crops are raided by herds of elephants. The little villages are invaded. So one of the great challenges in saving Africa, which the A.K. Taylor Fund and Ann Kent Taylor are working on, is how to minimize the human-wildlife conflicts. Part of that is they have learned habitat protection. The Maasai Mari built little stockades of thorns and trees, and that's how they expected to keep out herds of elephant when they gathered their cattle at night. Now they're being given chain-link fences, which, yes, elephant can walk through, but nothing else can climb over. And when the great elephant herds arrive, they are driven back into the reserve rather than having them stampede through the villages. It's hard for us to imagine this in 2018, but this is real life. And the poaching that takes place, many of the elephants are poisoned with poison-tipped spears. Think about that. We're talking about automatic rifles in the United States and AK-47s. And in the Maasai Mari of central Kenya, they're killing elephants with poisoned spears. It's just a different world, but it's a world we've got to figure out some way to save, and why so many people from the World Wildlife Fund all the way through are trying to save what's left in Africa. But again, it's individuals, and Ann Kent Taylor is one of those individuals who is making a difference. So this show, the first part of the show this morning, is really about, I guess, a person. It could be any of us listening. We get a passion. We dedicate our lives to it, to trying to make the world a better place. In this case, Ann Kent Taylor has done much more than that. She's a model of what can be done by an American in Africa. In her case, she's got legitimacy. She was born there. She grew up there. So one of the things that's going on also is education with the AK Fund. And I find this so beyond belief. and I'm reading directly from one of the pieces of material. There is a program for ladies called the Acidia, E-S-I-D-A-I, Acidia. What this program does is it provides sanitary pads to women, particularly teenage girls, young women. Because in the Maasai Mara, and think about this, as women mature, there is no sanitation. And therefore, as they menstruate, they skip school. So the period of menstruation for young women throughout central Kenya is to stay home, not go to school. Instead, Ann Kent Taylor has started a renewable business with local individuals in the Maasai Mara, where they are building reusable sanitary pads. They have been taught to use electric sewing machines, and it's teaching them skills. So from women not being able to leave their houses for a period of time each month, they now go about their lives like all of us in America do. This little transition has taken place because of the efforts and the vision of one lady whose real vision is to save the animals of Africa. But she's realized if you don't teach people how to be self-sufficient, they will continue to have human-animal conflicts. And so the idea of being self-sufficient, as simple as sanitary pads, is an advancement for women that has leapt forward hundreds of years overnight. So the idea here is humans and wildlife living together. And how do community empowerment take place? Building self-sustaining livelihoods without destroying the wildlife, which provide tens of millions, hundreds of millions, maybe even billions of dollars of revenue across Africa to all of us who want to see a little bit's left. If America still had a little bit of what was left of the great herds of buffalo, we would know what's taking place. The only place left on Earth where this is taking place is Africa. And the Maasai Mara is one of the critical areas. So as I prepare to go to break, and when I come back, I'm going to talk about an entirely different part of the world. Think about what an individual, in this case, Ann Kent Taylor, has done to make the world a better place. And the A.K. Taylor Fund, you can go online. It's just AnnKTaylorFund.org if you want to learn more. This is not an advertisement for the fund. This is really a story about an incredible lady who, through determination, is saving a part of the world that is worth saving, and maybe is an example to all of us how if we put our minds to things we think are important, we can help make a difference. And if you think this is important, please go to the website, learn more. There are lots of people working in Africa. It's a part of the world worth saving, and if all of us have the opportunity to do so, we'll be much better at leaving the world to our kids. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the Great Outdoors Show. Hope you've enjoyed this. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and first a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host. I'll do more on Africa from time to time, but with what's going on with the ivory trade and the sickening, just absolutely gross destruction of majestic wildlife, not for the purposes of anything but cutting off their noses, their ivory, so we can sell it around the world to countries that make aphrodisiacs out of it. This is a story that I and so many people can't go silent on. It's not that we are advancing the world in doing so. We are, in fact, making the world a worse place to live. And hopefully, through the work that's going on in Africa and the attention that's being brought to this indiscriminate slaughter, this isn't about hunting. This isn't about providing economic revenue and tourism. This is about a few selfish people making fortunes to feed some bizarre aphrodisiac feeling that many in Asia have, that it may be true, it may be wonderful, it may all be nirvana, but it's at the expense of the greatest wildlife herds the world has ever held, and it's an expense that we shouldn't have anymore. So moving from that, talking about expense, the Pittman Robertson Fund, the sole force of providing the greatest amount of revenue to the states for fishing and hunting and the advancement of wildlife. It's provided. The PR funds are provided through the sale, the taxation, the sale of firearms and ammunition. It's been worth billions of dollars over the years, escalating almost every year through the Obama administration and continuing to escalate, it seems. They made a major change in how these billions of dollars cumulatively are going to be awarded. And it's quite interesting. It'll be interesting to see how the state of Illinois can adapt to it because PR funds have to be matched. The feds give you a dollar, you have to have a dollar. We don't have 5 cents. But anyway, what the PR funds are going to do for the first time ever is they are going to permit PR funds, Pittman Robertson funds, to be used for the purchase of game farm birds to be part of the three R's, recruitment, retention, and reactivation of hunters. And I talked a couple of weeks about on the show, as I do often, about the plummeting numbers of hunters. The idea is if we encourage the shooting sporting industry, there are so few places in Illinois right now you could shoot a wild pheasant. You could walk much of the state and never see a pheasant, whereas when I was a child growing up, I walked out my back door and I shot one every Saturday afternoon. I walk out my back door now and I'm going to be run over by a cement truck. So we have fewer places to go, very few wild birds left, but the heritage of hunting is still in our culture, and we want it to be in our culture because the revenues from hunting not only provide the wildlife management that so many of us know and benefit from, but it also provides a compass and a healthy experience for families to be together and for individuals to get outside. So PR funds are now going to be available for the first time for shooting preserves. The state of Illinois will be able to apply for PR funds for releasing pheasants on state lands, provided they have a monitoring program in place where they can determine how the three R's, recruitment, retention, and reactivation, were advanced. This is an enormous deal. It's an enormous deal for the shooting preserve industry because there's going to be a inflow of tens of millions of dollars. It's a great deal for the state of Illinois and all the states who have been single-handedly paying the bills for this, while PR funds have been used for other areas. Now there's going to be help. How this all shakes out is yet to be seen. But what it is it's a seismic change in the way Washington and the Trump administration is viewing the future of hunting in America, as opposed to how the previous administration viewed it. It's not a political statement. It's just a reality that the new Department of Interior is doing everything it can to advance public hunting, public fishing, access to public lands, public recreation. And the access to public lands has been a priority of regardless of the administrations for a long time. But providing public hunting and public fishing recreation opportunities has not been. So this is, again, one of the things that happens that's not on the front page of a newspaper, but there's going to be a huge amount of money pumped into the outdoor recreation business of hunting and being able to provide hunting experiences on public lands by providing birds which otherwise naturally would not be there. This is a really big deal, and I have a sense it's the first of several such announcements to come as this administration moves towards trying to cement the heritage or the opportunity to cement the heritage of hunting and fishing in our culture after years of being assaulted. So money always drives things. PR funds, the golden rule, it's where the gold is. They're now making it available to different uses than has ever been the case. We'll see how the state of Illinois and neighboring states react to this. My guess is Missouri, Indiana, Wisconsin will be all over this. My hope is the director of the DNR, Wayne Rosenthal, a fine man, is able to also figure out a way to free up money because it's going to be benefiting the people of Illinois who are paying the taxes and getting some of our money to come home. So thank you very much for listening. Hope you've enjoyed the show. I'll be back next week, and when I am, I'm going to be in the mountains of Nevada, and I'm going to do something that I've not done before, which I'll tell you about next week. And also, I'm going to talk a little bit about GPSs and how they're relevant to deer, monitoring deer, and where science is headed in that area. Thank you so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.